Man, thank you for your patience with me on that one. Choir practice got me all messed up, but we found it. Praise the Lord. And so tonight, if you've got a copy of God's Word with you, we will be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10 as we think tonight about our hope. Our hope. And it is unique for me to now look out and see it dark at this time of day, but that is the time of year we're in. The fall is fall officially here, Brother Gene? Is it fall now? Yeah. It is fall. Cool. So it is fall. Yeah. Welcome to some orange leaf. Last Wednesday? Cool. Amen. I'm like, man, it feels dark, but it is dark. It is getting dark right now. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you found your place. Please stand in reverence to God's holy word as we look tonight at verses 1 through 10, thinking about our hope, or some could say our eternal hope. So the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity you've given us to come to your house. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity you have given me to proclaim the truth of your word to your people. I pray now that you would cleanse me of all sin, empty me of myself, fill me with your Spirit, clothe me in your armor, enable me to do what you've called me to do here tonight. I thank you for this scripture and the encouragement it brings. Please help me and enable me tonight, because if you don't, nothing will be done of any value. Lord, help me now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So tonight, as we think about our hope, I'm sure as we read through there were some things that were confusing to you, maybe that you didn't fully understand. But as we dig into this text tonight, I believe we will all be encouraged as children of God, knowing that this is not it for us. So that's good to know as children of God, that this life that we are living right now is not the end. We have hope past this life. We have an eternal home. We have an eternal heavenly body that will be perfect without any sickness or pain or sin that we will one day receive. And that's kind of what we see here in our text tonight. But as we look at our hope, the first thing I want to point out tonight, number one, is a believer's anticipation. A believer's anticipation, which we see in chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, there's some unique things there. Let's break that verse down a little bit. So what that verse is saying is, "For we," so that "we" is referring to the children of God, so those that are saved, "for we," the children of God, "know," that means we are sure of, We know, we're certain of, that if our earthly house, that's not talking about my house at 331 Dillon Road, but that is talking about our physical body. So, "for we know that if our earthly house," our physical body, "of this tabernacle," and this is important here, "of this tabernacle," what, "of this tent." See, a tent is a temporary dwelling, is it not? Now, some people, they may spend more time in a tent than they would like to, but a tent is not a permanent dwelling. Just like in the Old Testament, The tabernacle was not the permanent dwelling of the Ark of the Covenant. It was just a temporary resting place until Israel got into the Promised Land and the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the temple. But we, our physical bodies, our tabernacles, our tents, temporary dwelling places. That's what we have, that's what our physical body is. So, for we, the children of God, are sure that if our earthly house, our physical body of this tabernacle or tent were dissolved, if it were destroyed, when we die, we have a building. Notice the transition there. So, our current body is a tabernacle, a tent. But in heaven, as children of God, we have a building. Ain't that an encouragement? The body we have now is a temporary dwelling place. But thank God when we get to heaven and we are given our new body, our building. A building is a permanent structure, is it not? A building is something that will last unless the person building it doesn't know what they're doing. But thank God the one building our heavenly body, the body we will have for all eternity, is giving us a perfect body. So we know that if our earthly body is destroyed or dissolved, we have a building, a permanent dwelling place of God. And then it goes on, and house not made with hands. So it's not a created body, not created, but eternal in the heavens. So the anticipation of the believer is that one day when this earthly body is dissolved, is destroyed, when we transition from this life to the next, our current temporary dwelling place will be exchanged for a permanent building, a permanent body in heaven. That is the anticipation of the believer. So the believer anticipates two things, and that's one thing we must understand. The believer, first, we must anticipate our expiration. We all know that we're going to die. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve committed the first sin, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 talks about is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So we are going to die, and we're anticipating that. But we're not only anticipating our death, but we are believers also anticipates their transformation. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse number 50. Thinking about our anticipation of our transformation, going from a tent to going from a tabernacle to a building, going from a temporary dwelling to a permanent heavenly body. We see this 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. The Bible says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." So our current tabernacle, our tent, our temporary dwelling place, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed or transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised corruptible, and we shall be changed. Why? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, if we go by way of the rapture or by way of the grave, we will transition from our temporary tabernacle to our heavenly building, our permanent body. That is the anticipation of the believer. They anticipate their expiration, but also their transformation. But we see, number two, we see a believer's adversity. And back in our text, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "For in this," so in our tabernacle, in our current temporary dwelling, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." And we see this described also in Romans chapter 8, verse number 23. The Bible says there, right along these lines, it says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So we see here a believer's adversity is we're currently living in our earthly tabernacle. Now, we have a hope one day we're going to get a permanent building, a perfect body when we get to heaven. But right now we're living in this earthly temporary dwelling. In this temporary dwelling, we see struggles first, obviously, physically. Do we not? This earthly body that we have is deteriorating. All because the curse of sin that began in the Garden of Eden. I mean, as we can see tonight, I couldn't read the screens without my glasses because my eyes are deteriorating. Our minds deteriorate. Our bodies deteriorate. Our joints deteriorate. Our bodies are falling apart. That's why it talks about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. I meant to print these out, but I didn't, so you get to see me turn to all of them. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That is because our bodies deteriorate. That Solomon there is charging the young ones to serve the Lord while they physically can do it. Because our bodies are deteriorating. And that's one thing we need to understand. We're not getting any younger physically while we're on this side of heaven. And that's why we need to do what that says there and serve the Lord as best we can with all we've got while we've got it. Because physically, our earthly tabernacle is deteriorating. But also, spiritually. And that's probably what I hate the most about my fleshly body. Because of sin. This fleshly body is tempted to sin. And my flesh is tempted to do things contrary to my Lord, and yours is as well. And that's why we see in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. He talks about the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. It's a battle with our flesh. That's the adversity we're fighting every day. Not only are we deteriorating physically, but spiritually, it's a battle every single day. That's the adversity that we face. But I thank God, we see number three, we see God's aim or God's purpose, His intention in verse number 4. It says, for we that are in this tabernacle, so in this temporary dwelling, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And one thing I want to point out I didn't earlier, we see multiple times being clothed. It talks about being clothed. When you hear that, you basically need to understand that this body we're going to get, I mean, your physical body is real, is it not? It's real. Your spiritual body is going to be just as real. Your heavenly body, I should say, is going to be just as real. And that's why when it talks about being clothed, you're being clothed with a new physical body, because the pagans of the day, they believed spirit was good and flesh was bad. So they believed when you died, when you went to heaven or whatever they believed in, that you left your flesh, the bad part of you, and your spirit was all that level that kind of hung on. But we know better than that, because we have a house, a permanent dwelling, the Bible says. In heaven, we will get a new physical body. It is God's aim. Verse number 4, so we see there again. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And part of that verse I'll explain here in just a moment. But we see there it says the mortality might be swallowed up of life. So what is God's aim? God's intention. First, God's intention for you and me is that we, for our conversion, our salvation. And the Bible says it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's desire that everyone come to know Him in repentance and faith. I believe the Bible backs that up. It's first His desire that we be saved, but then notice what it says there, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He wants to clothe us in eternal life, and He will do that when we get to heaven by giving us our permanent dwelling, our heavenly body that we are promised. And I thank God we are promised it. And that's one thing we need to gather from this message tonight. This is not the end. We will one day be given a body that doesn't hurt, that doesn't get sick, that doesn't get hungry, that doesn't desire to sin, that doesn't desire to disobey God, that doesn't cause us to do anything contrary to our Lord. God's aim is our conversion and our clothing with eternal life. So we see a believer's anticipation, a believer's adversity. We see God's aim, and then we see God's assurance of this. See, God gave us something for us to know that this heavenly body, we're going to get it. That we are going to go to heaven. That what He says in His Word, He has guaranteed. And we see in verse number 5. Now He that hath wrought us for this, the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So let's break that verse down. Now He that wrought, that means prepared us. So now He that prepared us for the selfsame, that is this very thing, who also hath given unto us the earnest or the down payment of the Spirit. When I thought about this, I thought about Tamar. Now, you know, in the Bible it talks about the sin that happened with Tamar. But the man that lay with her, he made a covenant with her to pay her. But at the time he didn't have it to pay. So he left her a down payment of like his earrings and his bracelets. He gave her something to assure her that the promise he made he was going to fulfill. And that's what we have in the sweet Holy Spirit. We have been given the Holy Spirit. It is the down payment, the earnest, the down payment of our heavenly inheritance. Because we have the Spirit, we can know that God will finish what He has started. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit first to enable us to serve Him, to enable us to live for Him, to enable us to understand His Word, but also to give us an expectation. You see, every time we read the Bible and the Holy Spirit expounds it to our heart, reminds us that He's there. That reminds us also that if He's there, all the promises in the Word of God are true, including the one that says that we have the hope of heaven. Every time we allow the Holy Spirit to enable us to serve God and do what He has called us to do and share the good news of the gospel with someone, we can be encouraged to know that that enabling Holy Spirit was given to us to enable us, but also to give us an expectation when we can know that we have the hope of heaven. The Holy Spirit was a down payment on what we're going to get one day when we get to heaven. So we see God's assurance, verse number 5. Then we see the believer's arrangement, or I guess you could say his makeup, verses 6 and 7. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So we see here the believer's arrangement, his makeup, because we have the Spirit, because we have this expectation of one day leaving this tent for a building in heaven, speaking of a body. We see first our arrangement is confidence. Confidence. Look what it says. Verses 6 and 7. Therefore we are always confident. We are sure. We can serve God with boldness. We are confident first in our salvation. Because we have the earnest of the Spirit, if you are living for God and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you, that is one of the greatest things that will give you assurance of your salvation, because you see the Holy Spirit active in your life. You're getting in the Word. He's illuminating the Word to your heart. You're striving by God's grace to be obedient. He's enabling you to do that. And as you live for God, you're putting on the armor of God and you have the assurance of your salvation. But not only do we have confidence in our salvation, but we have confidence in our service. You see, when we know we have the Spirit, and then we know we have the hope of heaven, we know that all the promises of the Word of God are true, we can be confident in service. We can be confident in knowing that God will do what He says He will do, that God will enable us to share the good news of the gospel, and He'll be faithful to what His Word says. So believers' arrangement, confidence in His salvation, in His service, but also cognizance or understanding. It says in our scripture there again, it says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. So we have a cognizance. We have cognizance in our circumstances. We know that we in this current state are not with our Lord yet. Now He's with us. The Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He is living within us, but one day we will be physically in His presence. But until we leave this tent for that building, we're going to be absent from Him. We have an understanding of that. But we understand our circumstances, but we also understand our calling, which is to live for and being obedient to Him. So we see the arrangement of the believer, but we see the believer's ambition. Verse number 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is a verse that you will hear so many times at a funeral service or at a graveside. I'll read that again. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So the believer's ambition, the believer's desire, and I believe every believer has the desire or should have the desire that Paul has there. But I want to point out first, as we look at verse number 8, that this ambition of the believer, I do not believe the ambition is to die. Because if you're not here, if you're not careful, and you hear somebody say this, you're thinking, well, they want to die, they want to commit suicide, go to heaven, they want to be with their Lord, but that's not the case. It's not that they want to die. It's not that they want to die, but they want to be different. We want to be different spiritually. We want to be changed. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a desire to sin anymore. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to be sick anymore. I don't want to be sad anymore. I don't want to have to hunger anymore. We, as children of God, we have a desire to be with our God. That's what we see here. That's the desire Paul is talking about. It's not that he necessarily wanted to die, but he wanted to be different because he knew one day he would be. He was in a temporary dwelling, but he was promised a house in heaven, a permanent dwelling that he would give. That's the belief. I believe the believer's ambition, every believer's, not necessarily to die, but to be different, to be in our heavenly dwelling. But we see here, and we see in Paul's life, although he had a desire to have his heavenly body that didn't hurt or get sick or desire to sin or disobey God, we see the believer's aim in verse number 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Let's break that down. Wherefore we labor, that means we make it our aim, literally. We labor, we make it our aim, that whether we be present, that means whether we're in heaven, or whether absent, that means here on earth, we may be accepted or well-pleasing to him. Paul's saying, I have a desire to have my heavenly body so that I will not be sick or hurt or hunger or disobey God anymore. But whether I'm in heaven or whether I'm on earth, I want to obey God. I want to please God. And that should be the desire of the believer. We have a yearning to have that permanent dwelling where all sin is removed and all sickness is removed and all pain is removed. But in the meantime, we need to be like Paul and have a desire whether we're here or there. Whether we're here or there, we want to please him. That's the believer's aim. The desire of a believer is to be passionate. We should desire while we're on planet Earth to work hard and do well. But if all we do is we work hard and we make a lot of money and we toil and we get a lot of stuff for us, we've not really done much. But our desire should be to be, and I already talked about it, be pleasing to him. We should be passionate about pleasing God because that's why we're here. While we're in this temporary dwelling place, battling against sin and temptation and sickness and hunger and all the things that we have to deal with, it should be our desire, as it was Paul's, to be pleasing to the Lord. So that's the believer's aim. And we see, number 8, we see finally God's acknowledgement. We see one day there will be a judgment of our deeds. We see in verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, literally the bema seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So when we look at this here, the first thing I want to point out as we think about God's acknowledgement, there have been, and I struggled with this for a long time, but verse 10 is not speaking of a judgment of sin of the believers. And I thank God for that. Because for the longest time, if you're not careful, I've even seen gospel tracts that say one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to be judged for all our deeds, even as his children. And we're going to stand there and all of our deeds are going to be thrown up on a movie screen for all to see. And we're going to be judged in front of everyone. But this judgment here is not a judgment of our sin. I thank God for that. We see here, it says, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. This means the elevated seat. This was a picture, like in the Roman Empire, of an elevated platform where athletes would go to receive their awards. This is an award ceremony, not a ceremony to be judged of sins we've committed. I praise God. Those were dealt with on the cross, never to be brought up again. I thank God we're not going to stand before God and be judged for our disobedience and our sin. This judgment seat, it's not judgment for sin, but it is judgment for service. If we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If we're not careful, that sounds like if you've lived a sinful life, if you've been a believer and you struggle with sin and you've disobeyed God, you're going to be judged for that. What that means is spiritually, the deeds you did in your daily life, did you live to serve God and love God and obey God, share the good news of the gospel, striving to be obedient to him? If you did so, you will be awarded here at this judgment seat. And if you did not and you lived for yourself and you didn't strive to serve God and love God, you will not be awarded for your life. You're like the Bible talks about, you'll be saved as so by fire. You'll have nothing spiritually to show for your life. How sad would that be to get to this judgment? And then you stand before God and you have no rewards that you receive because of your service to God. And remember, these rewards aren't so that we can get them and flaunt them all over heaven and say, look what I got because of this I did for God. But we get these awards so that we can take them and lay them at the feet of our Savior, thanking Him and praising Him for what He did for us. Because remember, we deserve to stand at the great white throne judgment. We deserve to be judged for our sin, to be cast into hell for all eternity. But instead, we're going to be standing at the judgment seat of Christ, an award ceremony, rewarding believers for their faithfulness and obedience to God. So we see this is not a judgment of sin, but it is a judgment for service. And that's why we should have a desire, one of the many reasons we should have a desire to be obedient to God, love God, live for God, strive to be pleasing to God so that we can be rewarded and then turn around and lay those awards at His feet. Right now we're in this painful, as I age, my joints are hurting, my eyes are going bad, and my body is just not what it used to be. It's a different shape than it used to be. Everything's changing for the worst. But be encouraged to know that this is not our permanent dwelling. This isn't it. This is our tabernacle, our tent, our temporary dwelling. We've got a permanent dwelling in heaven, a building not made with hands. God has got it for us. And when we transition from this life to the next, be that through the rapture or through the grave, we will receive that permanent dwelling. And we'll get to have that permanent dwelling, that body that desires, that does not desire to sin. My eyes will work just fine. It won't hurt. It won't be sad. It'll be a perfect body. I look forward to that. And kind of in a light joking kind of sense, you've heard me say this before, but I always said I hope that Jesus was ripped, because that body that we're going to receive says we will be like Him because we know Him as He is. And I say, well, I hope He was ripped so that I'll finally, for the first time ever, be muscled up because Jesus was. But I don't think that's what that means there. We will be changed. We'll have a perfect body. And I look forward to that day. But we need to understand, when we get to heaven, it's not like, well, we serve God down here and we get to heaven and we're rewarded and we get that new body and we get to sit back on our easy chair and eat grapes while somebody fans us through all eternity. No. We get that heavenly body. We get that perfect body. We get that sinless body so that when we get to heaven and through all out eternity, we can serve God. Did you know that when you get to heaven, you're going to work? You're going to serve? And you will have a desire to? Did you know you won't get tired? Did you know you'll want to do what God wants you to do? It'll be natural because you'll have a perfect body. I look forward to that day, don't you? I look forward to casting off this body and getting that heavenly one. And we can have that all because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and the faith that we had in Him. We have that hope. That is our hope. this is not it. We have a hope of heaven. We have a hope of a new body. Let's be encouraged by that tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as Miss Anna comes to the piano tonight, hope this message has been an encouragement to you. Thank God this is not the end. This is not it. But while we are here, we should have a desire, even in this temporary dwelling, to be obedient and pleasing to Him. As she begins to play, the altar's open. Maybe you want to come and say, Lord, help me. Give me the grace first to fight the temptations and the struggles that I have to deal with while I'm in this body. And He will do that. He will enable you to do that. He will empower you. He will help you. He'll give you the grace to say no to sin and yes to Him. And say, Lord, help me. Give me more of a burden to be pleasing to You. Give me more of a burden to be obedient to You. And help me to allow the Holy Spirit, the down payment that You've given us, to enable us, but to also remind us of what our expectation is. She's playing, the altar's open. Don't leave tonight without doing business with the Lord. Up this way. Thank you for your kind attention tonight. I hope that's